Yeah.
This evening, and you just be like whistling, like, dun,
Fuck.
dun, 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 dun,
All right, I'm
dun,
back.
dun, dun, dun. Ba
Taking a leak and singing Rocky
Yep,
Top.
100%.
Jordan's back?
I'm back, baby.
Nope.
Still can't hear him. Well, all right, everybody, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. This is mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends about college football and lifestyle, amongst other things. You can find the Wheel Route on the internet at thewheelroute.com, at the Wheel Route on Twitter. Wheelroutepodcast at gmail.com is where you can send emails, and you can download the show from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher. We're also on Instagram, very infrequently, Wheel Route, at Wheel Route Podcast. My name's Logan Whitehouse. You can find me on Twitter at LogoOnTheDawn. Mostly just tweeting sad things these days, but otherwise, I'm in Stuart, Florida, where it is not so sad. Good times out here, so we're rebounding well. Yeah, who else is here?
My name is Jordan Shank. I am this week located in Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right,
where I'm excited to fly home tomorrow and rejoin normal civilization. You can find me on twitter.com at Shank Jordan, where I think, like Logan, I'll just be taking a break from happy content for a while, maybe giving these Twitter fingers a rest for a couple months until spring football starts for the Hoos. Then I'll be right back, recharged, ready to flame your favorite team,
ready to lie with the best happy tweets. Shut up, Jason. These are dark times.
My name is Jason Kreck. I tweet things at Jason Kreck. Coming to you from the friendly city of Harrisonburg, Virginia. And I can't think of a single reason why anybody would be morose or downtrodden after such a wonderful weekend of college basketball. Possibly the best tournament opening ever. People have said that it's the best tournament opening ever.
People are saying
dad.
All right. Very nice. Are you at 380 University Boulevard again, Jason?
Who's to say? What is an address except a figment of human construction?
You know, what is a tournament?
It's but an invention of the post
indeed.
Office.
Indeed.
Anyhow, you bros drinking tonight? Jason is.
Nope. I am, for the second week in a row, sans alcohol. And
that's
I
probably good.
To apologize to all our loyal listeners. I'm embarrassed. You will not see a podcaster try harder than I will.
Drink more.
You're just waiting until you can get back to the comfy confines of Jordan's couch and steal his O'Doul's or whatever, right?
No, he's still got a big Yingling can in my fridge.
It's keeping Jordan's electric bills down. All that thermal mass in there.
Right. That's right. Speaking of big cans, I have a big can of Miller High Life that I purchased from the gift shop in the hotel about 20 minutes ago.
Excellent. High Life. I am drinking a mixture of whey protein and Tang, actually. So, you guys want to know what fuels the 4.3 speed? It's whey protein and Tang.
Get those gains somehow. It's beach season, someone said.
Right. See, the way that my system is set up here, I have to drink this. So it's good enough for the astronauts. It's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, when was the last time you guys had a Tang?
I couldn't tell you.
I recently had a Tang about, I want to say like a year.
Okay,
it's been a while. No, it's been like 2-3 years. A local watering hole tried to mix Tang and champagne for a new kind of mimosa. Don't ever do that.
What did they call it?
Did that watering hole rhyme with Binnigan's?
Absolutely not. I would never go to that horrid place, the worst bar in 50 states. It did. Let's call it Schmilly Blacks.
Oh, I'd expect better from them.
As did I. I don't believe it was a long-lasting menu item.
Didn't have a long shelf life.
Well, I mean, essentially, if you do... Jason, was the Tang, like, water and Tang powder plus champagne, or was it just Tang powder and champagne? Because then you're just tinting the champagne at that point. It's not a mimosa, it's just orange champagne.
Powdered up their andre on me real quick.
With a lot of sugar and orange.
I assume they made the Tang first, but I can't guarantee that.
Yeah, right. We can't be sure. I think the last time I had Tang may have been on a missions trip to Appalachian country. Logan, okay. Did you ever go on the swap trips?
I did not go on a swap trip, but I am intimately familiar.
Okay. So I think our breakfast beverage during those weeks was Tang rather than OJ.
Rather than orange juice.
Or anything else.
Right.
I would have just taken water, but...
You know, you can't really find it anymore, but there's a pineapple Tang that, you know, if I'm done with the orange, I'm looking to mix it up a little bit, little pineapple Tang, vanilla whey protein. Beautiful. That's when summer's...
I've never tried whey protein in you know, whatever you call Tang. That's an interesting variant.
Well, yeah. You know, see what I'm trying to do here, I'm trying to spike my high glycemic index carbs.
I regret asking.
Even though I run every 24-hour period in a calorie deficit, I spike my high GI carbs during my workout, trick my body into thinking that I'm actually running a surplus, make epic gains. Yeah, we all come crashing back down later.
We're going to cut all this.
So, anyhow, well, okay. It's lovely. Good to hear from you guys. Nice to see you all. Jordan, I'm glad you're safe.
Me too.
Yeah.
How's your trip been? Fun?
It's been good.
I caught all things
fish. Yeah, all things considered. Like, caught some good fish in New Mexico. Drove back from Aztec to Albuquerque Tuesday night. And spent the night at the Albuquerque International Airport, which was an experience. About 3 a.m., someone got on the loudspeaker, like the PA announcer, and just started very emphatically declaring that wheelchairs do not go down escalators. I repeat, wheelchairs do not go down escalators. And it's just like...
That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, I kind of was fading in and out of sleep on my luggage at that point, and it woke me right up, and didn't get back to sleep till I was on the plane. But did the first weekend of the madness in Vegas again. Saw a lot of characters, a lot of angry men losing money. Fun times. Ate some good food, drank some drinks, remained safe, remained within the confines of my budget. So that is all.
What kind of facility and equipment upgrades can we expect for the Wheel Route podcast after this trip?
Yeah, that's a question right there, Jason.
Yeah, that's gonna have to wait until the the final session tonight to see see if the 11th hour comeback takes place. But
fair, that's reasonable.
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you back at the compound soon. Right. All right, guys, we had another Tiger watch this weekend before we jump into basketball. Any thoughts? Seems like Tiger's playing okay, which is good. Masters coming up. Nothing really to see here.
Yeah. I mean, he, at one point, I think
Thursday only hit two drives out of bounds this week. So, you know, we're doing okay.
There was a little bit of mortal left in him. but I mean, yeah, like at one point Thursday or Friday when he was just first like ripping off stuff. He literally jumped and was the favorite to win the Masters,
right?
By Vegas odds, which is bananas.
You don't think that's just certainly Vegas isn't just taking advantage of people's interest in
Tiger Woods. 100% that's what.
Yeah, okay.
To even be reasonable, that's crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
And so that was pretty awesome to see. He kind of faded a little bit towards the weekend. Looked a little bit mortal, but then was right back in it on Sunday. And was kind of at the same point he was last week of it would take kind of a superhuman effort for him to win this thing, but he was in it, and that's all you can ask. And then I think he got to like 15 or 16 or something, and just double crossed and ripped a double to the gap and yanked it out of bounds. And
I'll get you.
And we've all been there. That was that, but it was fun. And
yes, yes, we have.
We've all been there before. Just
once or twice, but it was fun, and it warrants mentioning that Rory McIlroy like shot a 64 in the final rounds to climb the whole leaderboard and win it. Right. And Rory's still pretty good, as it turns out.
Yeah, it's his first win in a couple of years, though, isn't it?
It was, yeah. Yeah, he's always been around, but that's his first title. So if he's playing well and...
He also had some smoking hot takes about fan interaction in golf, which is always good, you know. Right. I love that.
But if he's playing well and Tiger's back a little bit and Phil's playing well, Augusta could be real fun.
Yeah, it was neat. The place I was watching games yesterday, they put the golf on one of the 8 screens in the room, and because at that point there were only 2 basketball games going on. So yeah. They put Tiger on one screen, and people were following that as intently as they were watching the basketball. And that was really hilarious to see.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we said last week, I don't know that any athlete in history has captured more, bystanders. Right. Bystanders, can't talk. Just single-handedly into his sport than his or her sport than Tiger Woods. People made a case for Serena Williams, and that's a fair one.
Mm-hmm.
But what Tiger does for golf is pretty incredible.
I don't know if you guys are aware of Mr. Timothy Tebow, what he did for football in America.
That's 2 Tebow references in the first, 20 minutes of this thing. We're off to a rip-roaring pace.
Who made another one?
In the spring. I gave a speech, a wild speech.
You're right.
A plaque for that thing.
It's going to be etched in stone above Jordan's couch when he gets back.
Absolutely.
All right. Next on the docket, we got, I think spring football started for most of the country. Is that right? Does anyone know? Maybe just the SEC. Maybe some of the northern schools are waiting a couple weeks for the thawout to continue. So this is that time of year where it's fun to be on Twitter and hear about all the strength and conditioning gains that everyone has made in the last 4 weeks that they've been lifting since the semester started, and the new strength coaches have come in. Hope springs eternal. College football, it's great. So I guess we'll see. Coach Dan Mullen's just walking around. It's getting real nostalgic around Florida. Percy Harvin's been on campus, just standing around, talking to recruits. I'm feeling good, guys.
Violations left and right.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes. I'm ready. So anyhow, as you can tell, I've put basketball season behind me, and I'm ready to move on to football season. So whenever you guys are ready, just let me know.
So this concludes our 15-minute March Madness episode.
So the rest of this podcast weekend will just be me monologuing about college basketball.
Monologuing.
Yeah, I think spring football is, as you mentioned, a fun time because everyone can be optimistic at this point.
Nobody knows anything.
No reports that come out of these closed practices are negative. There's no they're really disappointed that so-and-so hasn't made, the leap they were expecting. And for the most part, nobody's hurt yet. So everyone's got a full roster, and they feel a little bit more emboldened to talk that mess right now.
Exactly. Apparently Felipe Franks looks really good.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying,
negative reports.
No negative press, baby. So, it'll be exciting. So let's move on, talk some basketball. Jordan, why don't you go ahead and update us on how we did picks-wise. I'm assuming things got a little off the rails for all of us, but why not? Let's hear how it has been. I'm sure there'll be games we want to talk about. Maybe we can just run down, talk about the spicy ones.
Yeah, so picks overall weren't terrible until we got to the South region, a.k.a. Hell. Jason and I went 23-9. And Logan went 21-11. We all went 4-4 in the South, which was not great.
Honestly, it's probably better than a lot of people.
San Diego State totally let me down.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of San Diego State, so I texted you guys about this Wednesday morning about my Lyft driver from the airport to my hotel.
Right.
Yeah. She got in my head pretty good. And,
she's a plant.
Yeah, I lost all of my Mountain West conference bets because she she picks me up and she's, you out here for March Madness? Yeah, we're, my buddy and I were just going to watch games and do that whole thing. And she said, make sure you put money on Nevada. and don't put money on San Diego State. If she had just shut up right there, I would have been like, okay, local knows what she's talking about. I would have done great on my bets. But right. Then she kept talking, and she said, well, actually, she said, I'm just a little upset because my daughter goes to Nevada, and San Diego State, like, apparently crushed Nevada in the Mountain West Championship game, maybe. She's like, I'm just kind of bitter about that. San Diego State, she goes on to say, really good, really athletic. Just their guys are huge and we're tiny. And yeah, so I went against Nevada, both Nevada games. That cost me. And I went San Diego straight up, which also cost me. So
they were close. They were right there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, close doesn't matter.
Close doesn't cash a ticket, Logan.
They don't care. Close doesn't care. Only horseshoes and hand grenades, boys. Right. That's what they say.
Yeah, so our picks were what they were.
All right.
We can just talk about the obvious, get it out of the way.
I was going to say, do we want to start with it or do we want to end with it?
Yeah, we're just going to start with it.
We can start with it. I'm sure we'll have some thoughts.
So the game we all want to talk about, Jamie women's basketball played Radford on Saturday. Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Virginia lost at basketball.
They did.
Right. Number one overall seed, Virginia. They didn't just lose. They got it. They took it right on the chin for about 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
about 20.
For about 20 minutes, but there was a very ugly one half of basketball on both sides that was played at first.
I don't know that there was ever a question who was the better team that night.
For that game,
I mean,
who was playing better?
21 there was no question who was playing half, better.
And that's what I told everybody is everybody, we all knew that eventually a 16 was going to catch a one. Like that was inevitable. It was always going to happen. I did not expect it to happen in the form that it did.
Yeah.
No way.
You know, usually you see any 15 over a 2 or any 14 over a 3, it's, you know, frantic at the end, and there's a prayer, and there's some bounces their way in the last 90 seconds and stuff.
And
like that.
They've been playing well leading up to that too,
right?
Obviously,
and they're kind of a sleeper, and they got talent. And this was, that was a drubbing over
it was
the last
weird
18 minutes of that game. Kind of surreal, surreal. It was one of those things. They just made everything.
They made everything.
Like, tough shot after tough shot, floaters in the lane among traffic, and high bounces off the backboard. It was everything fell in, and it was fascinating to watch.
They were able to peel Virginia open on defense better than Virginia's only lost 3 games this year, counting that game, right? I mean, nobody had been able to do that, and somehow they were able to get into the lane, collapse the defense, and I don't know if they had a big. I think they had a big that could shoot threes,
stretch four,
and he would flare out, and it somehow just peeled the defense open. And I mean, listen, if you're going to make 50% or more of your threes like they did, and they took enough too. I mean, it wasn't. I think they made what they make 15 threes, 12. They made 12, I think. 12. They were 12 of 24, I believe. They made 12 threes. I think Virginia made 5, of which I think 2 came like in desperation down the stretch.
They only made 4, actually.
Wow. Yeah. So.
And one was an Isaiah Wilkins prayer.
Right. Exactly. So I mean, it was weird. I was just really, I was kind of shocked. I mean, it was in a way it was kind of relieving. I wasn't necessarily mad. I wasn't necessarily mad. Just because of the way that the game sort of went, it was just like, wow. I mean, obviously, every time that would happen, they'd get an open three, and they seemed like they'd made it. And, you know, then Virginia started to press, started to take shots that were maybe a little bit outside of their normal flow of offense. Jerome can make shots, but he's not shy about taking them, though. And he was pressed a little bit. I don't think Devin Hall had his best game. He didn't look like he was aggressive off the bounce. But, I mean, both those guys, Wilkins and Hall, get into foul trouble early. You don't have Hunter. Was it Nigel Johnson-Jordan was forced to play a lot in the first half. It's very obvious that he is not quite up to snuff defensively when you watch him play in the system. how he kept UVA in it because he was able to actually go off the bounce and score. But
right.
It was just really weird. UVA seemed really deficient in the game, and they had not seemed like that at any point this year. There was no data to suggest this was going to happen. No. That was the thing that was really weird.
Yeah. It was complete, like, I just came away from it thinking it was complete perfect storm. Like, all of the variables were right for a 20-point loss.
right.
And that's the thing about, like, Virginia's system is that they are susceptible to, if a team gets hot from the three-point line, there's really no plan B. Like, their defense is designed to allow threes if that's what it comes to. And when you're hitting them the way UMBC was, at some point you just got to say, okay, it's not our night. Another interesting, I think Coach K made this point, was that the underrated factor is that, yes, Hunter was hurt and was out for this game, but UVA didn't have any games between his injury and the tournament to kind of figure out, like, how do we play without him. And you look at a team like Clemson, who they lost their best player in Dante Grantham.
Seven games ago or whatever.
Yeah, midway through the season, and they had significant time to figure out, okay, like, this is who we are without him. This is how we should play. This is what gives us the best chance to be successful. And now they're doing great.
And Hunter is the 6'8 guy that is a bona fide great defender, too. I mean, he's the guy that it would have been nice to have on the floor when Lyle started going and the other bigs started making threes, because he's athletic enough to run out there, close out hard. And
he honestly could have played both of them, at least on switches. You might not have started him on Lyle's, but he could have switched onto him in a screen situation and maybe held his own a little bit better than some other guys. But disappointing end to the season, but I was encouraged. Like, Tony handled it super well. Didn't woe is us. Oh, this sucks. I think
we had a bunch of us talked about it the next day, but we were just like, yeah, like, even when this happens, like, he still says that stuff, and you're just like, just give us something to not.
Yeah.
Like. There's nothing.
He's got a great head of hair, and he really knows how to.
That's something on his hands.
How to talk, but yeah, no, I mean, he handled it well, and I expected nothing less from him. And I thought he made a good point, as sort of cheesy as it was. He's like, you know, when you walk in there to play, like, something great can happen or something terrible can happen. And tonight, like, something terrible happened, and we were on the wrong side of it. And it was like, wow, that's true. You know, I guess that's true. But I'm interested to see moving forward what kind of resolve this team plays with next year, I suppose.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but what this year was supposed to be, like, kind of a rebuilding year. Not rebuilding,
yeah.
But...
I mean, maybe at the beginning of the year, yeah.
There were just a lot of unknowns because of, one, the way last year had gone. They went into the tournament as a 5 seed.
Yeah.
And Los Parentes had 2 other guards playing significant minutes. Transfer out, I think, so everyone looked at that and said, wow, they have a lot of production leaving. They're going to take several steps back.
Right.
Virginia Tech was a trendy pick to be better than them before the season.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you reminded people and not me, because...
it was dumb from the jump, and I tried to tell people that. But, I mean, that's how much people expected them to kind of be restructuring that system. And,
yeah, I think there was so little known about how their rotation was going to look and what their depth chart was going to be and who was going to actually play and who was going to be good. I mean, Devin Hall was awesome all year long. And, I mean, he looked like he could, you know, be one of the best players on the court. And then...
Yep.
I think, like, little stuff like that was great for Virginia, but yeah, it was just really weird. It was really weird. And, you know, like you said, Jordan, a combination of a lot of things. Like, you don't want to do the whole, they made shots and we didn't make any shots, excuse. Cause I mean, well, obviously that's how basketball goes. Right. You know, but that was part of it. Certainly they played above where they had played, or at least they consistently played all year. And, Virginia played under it. Second straight tournament game that Virginia has really struggled to play offense, which is disappointing.
And I think both of those games, the UMBC game this year and the Florida game last year, I think the offensive efficiency of the other team affected how they played offense. On the flip side, like, I think it's very disheartening for guys in that system to just see guys hit tough shot after tough shot. And they talk about, you know, we're coached to, if guys hit contested shots, we just got to live with it and on to the next play. But right. when it keeps happening over and over and over, I think that gets into the mind of 18 to 21-year-old kids and sure. can affect the way they play on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyhow, so I mean, like I said, a great year for Virginia, win the regular season, win the ACC tournament, and then just absolute tragedy effectively in the tournament. But we'll see. I mean, I will never not be team Tony B in this camp right now. And I have a tough time with – real quick, Jason. I have a tough time with, like, with people that make sort of these blasé passing references to Virginia's style. And without really thinking about it, like, I mean, I listen to a lot of Dan Le Batard, and he's like – his go-to joke is just like, oh, Virginia, get them out of here. They just want to drag every game through the sewer and they can't score 50 points. It's like, that's not really true.
Right.
You know, I think that Tony Bennett himself would be number one proponent of, like, let's score more points if we can. I think that they can, you know, Virginia compresses possessions in the game because they know that they tend to be really efficient. And, I mean, they win a lot of games, right? So, you know, you can't tell me that a team that wins the hardest, one of the, if not the, one of the hardest, best conferences in the country has done it, what, 3 out of the last 5 years, had the best ACC season any team has ever had, like, can't figure out a way to win games, you know? So that's just not true. And in a one-off tournament, you lose a game, and it just seems like it's all for naught. And I get that. I mean, I wanted Virginia to win too, but it's like I hate how it can be any loss that Virginia takes becomes a referendum on their style, regardless of if they win 31 games during the regular season.
Yeah. Well, and like you can't take a team that just won a conference tournament where you play 3 consecutive games and say that this style of basketball is not tournament appropriate.
Just can't win. Yeah. Right.
And Mark Titus made a pretty good point today on Twitter. He said something to the effect of, like, Syracuse is doing essentially what Tony Bennett does at Virginia, and that they're slowing the game down, they're playing defense that pisses the other team off, and they're grinding out possessions on offense. And they've made a lot of improbable tournament runs over the past several years doing that exact thing. So you can't turn that on Virginia and say, no, that's not a tournament effective or tournament appropriate style of basketball.
Yeah. But I mean, Virginia's easy. They're an easy target at this point. I thought of the same thing. I mean, you can read all the stats about all the legendary coaches that it took them 10 plus years before they made a Final Four. And I understand that we live in an age now where, like, everybody gets to kind of sound off about it. But if you think Virginia's doing any better also than what they got going right now, you're wrong.
That's
also, which is the other thing.
There's been, like, all this talk of people calling for Bennett's firing. And I think that's been overblown. I haven't seen anybody in the wild actually calling for Bennett's
firing. Right. No, you're right, Jason.
But there are people who are dumb and say those things. So I have no doubt of it. But yeah,
they're hokey plants, Jason.
They probably are. The deep state. It's the deep
hokey
state.
Bots.
Right.
but yeah, I mean, if you're a Virginia fan and you think you can do better than Tony Bennett, like,
you're crazy.
Okay, go ahead. Who would you like? Take your
pick. Probably want to hire Ryan Odom.
Probably. it's like a championship belt. It's like, well, he beats you, so now he gets to coach your team. Like,
right.
That's it.
He gets your chair now, Tony. That's the way these things work.
That's how it works. So, anyways, that's very dumb. Tony Bennett is an incredible head coach, as evidenced by the shack full of National Coach of the Year awards he has already.
He got freaking Washington State, led by 5'10" point guard Robbie Calgill, to the Sweet 16 back in the day. Like, don't tell me that
he almost,
like,
beat Carolina in the Sweet 16.
One of the hot takes I did see against Tony Bennett was, it was the dumbest thing I've ever read. He's just like, he was saying, it's like, he's got all this success, but it's, I mean, he can't even bring in NBA-level talent. He hasn't even been able to bring in NBA-level talent. It's like, okay, like, that's nice.
He's only got 4 guys of Virginia in the league right now, I think.
And the current rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Right, that's also true. But, like, even even if you don't think, like, yeah, okay, Duke and UNC and Kentucky crank out more draft picks.
Sure, right.
But, like, then Tony Bennett goes and beats them. So, feels like that kind of immediately disproves your point.
It becomes, what do you want out of a program? Do you want just guys in the league, or do you want ACC titles? Yeah. We do one really well right now.
Working on the other one. And, you know, basketball's weird. And so, yeah, I mean, not to take away from the disappointment. Obviously, it was, like, crushing and disappointing and surprising. And everything else. But I don't know. I guess I have a tough time with people who purport to be, like, smart and well-thought-out folks that can just, like, take this perch that, see, told you, like, it just doesn't work. Like, no. It literally works, like, 97% of the time, or, you know, 94% of the time, actually, according to the numbers. So, but anyhow. Okay, let's move on. Anything else to talk about? Nah, I don't think so. I think we're good.
Well, the South region also gave us a 13-4 upset. Buffalo beat the brakes off of Arizona.
The South region currently, as its Sweet 16, has a 5, a 7, a 9, and an 11. So
is going to come out probably the way that they're playing, and they're going to be playing.
They, in theory, won't have to play a number one seed until the title game if they keep advancing.
But no, yeah, Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo. That win over Arizona was worse than the UNBC win over Virginia. Like, Buffalo gave them hands, like.
Early and often, yeah.
And just, like, that game was never, like, it was, oh, like, this is over. This is done. So I have no idea what happened to Arizona.
Seems like they just kind of
off-court distractions, but
checked out. Right.
What did, someone I saw on Twitter said something to the effect of, like, well, those bags Ayton was getting was only for the regular season, brother. He wasn't under obligation to play hard in the postseason.
That hundred grand was only for the regular season.
Right.
That tournament payment never made it.
Yep.
Right.
But, and so there was that. Loyola Chicago was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sister Jean, superstar.
The most public. And that's, I think, to digress a little bit, that's why, I mean, everybody says the NCAA tournament is not the best way to find a champion, which isn't true. It's not the best way.
It's not the best way this year, if we're being honest.
Well, it's not the. It's never the best way to find the best team.
Right.
100% true. I think it's the best way to find a champion because it's the most fun way to do it. And that's I care about.
Right.
And I think it's the best postseason in sports because, like, the tournament marinates a little bit. Like, you have time to find these stories, like a 98-year-old nun who is like the team chaplain and gives them scouting reports. Like, that's incredible. And that's what this tournament produces. And so anyways, that's me waxing lyrical. The tournament is still awesome.
The tournament's awesome. And it does a really good job of, like, allowing, for the most part, like, not great basketball games to just come at you, like, directly into your eyeballs at so really, unless you watch from 12:15 on Thursday on, like, if you jump in at, like, 1:30, you're seeing, like, the last 15 minutes of every game basically in, like, a cascade through the rest of the evening. There's that little gap in the dinner time, and then it starts up.
10-minute periods.
Which is fun because you don't necessarily have to watch an entire 50-43 Kansas State-UNBC game. But you can watch the end when it's coming down to it, and that
was awesome.
That's never not going to be fun. Right?
There's, like, 6 sloppy-ass scramble plays that, like, people are diving all over the place because it's not the best basketball in the world, and I will never claim that to be, but it's still
most fun.
If you can't enjoy it because you're like, the NBA plays higher quality basketball, like, oh, how sad is your life?
Dude, if the NBA did this, you know how fun it would be?
Oh my goodness.
They just did a random, like, 32 team tournament
elimination.
Some random, like, D-League teams bring up. That'd be so
just
awesome.
Do it in the middle of the season, like, just for funsies. Just
instead of All-Star weekend.
32 team, take the best couple D-League teams, let them play.
We just solved All-Star weekend, guys.
Something else to play for, right.
The South season was glorious. And then Nevada beat Cincinnati.
Right.
They were down 22 with 11 minutes to go.
That's insane. And then it was like 7 players. They only, like, play 7 dudes on the stretch there.
Most coaches will tell you giving up a 22-2 run is not ideal.
That's not how you win games.
Ask UVA.
That was not on the film.
Yeah.
Marshall was another 13-4 opening.
Oh yeah, round. That was the thing. Is Marshall incredible, like, last 90 seconds to beat Wichita State, and it was, like, the 9th craziest thing that happened this week.
Dude, and Marshall's head coach Dan D'Antoni, which is awesome that he's Mike D'Antoni's brother, and
he wears t-shirts under his sport coats.
Yes, he does.
The West Virginia Jets been put out an article today. The West Virginia Marshall game was a battle for the future of men's fashion. Jumpsuits against T-shirts under sport coats.
I can confirm. I've seen both of those outfits multiple times on the casino floor this week. Absolutely no better too.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I saw there's a pretty awesome quote. Doesn't have anything to do with what happened here that Dan D'Antoni had. Someone was asking him about his style. He plays a very similar style to the Rockets, coached by his brother, obviously. And the guy was asking him after a loss if they need to work the ball into the paint more. He literally goes on like a 5-minute monologue with like analytics and numbers. And the guy tries to cut in and ask him something. He's like, I'm not done with my rant yet. And he keeps going.
No, he said, I'm not done with my damn analytics story yet.
Anyhow, awesome. Legend. Love that guy. Really love that, like, I don't know. Basketball is kind of cool, much like college football. Like, I mean, guys can kind of just run like some like crazy styles and sometimes
it
works.
It's the characters, and every game is different, and it's
awesome. Right. It's, I think college basketball and college football definitely have more personality than their professional counterparts.
Right.
The quality maybe not.
Collegiate athletics, especially football and basketball, several problems.
Yes.
Very significant problems.
Four or five problems. Yeah,
it's super fun. They're super fun. I love March.
You know it.
We can do the East. The East is the most East. Boring.
Yeah, Villanova looks awesome. Purdue looks like they're playing a little bit better.
Florida lose their big man though.
Yeah. So they've got like two or three more gigantic, tall, blonde, white folk, Aryans. They got some large Aryans on their team that they're just going to bring in. They look pretty good. Florida, I liked Florida to actually make it to the Elite Eight. They did not. So classic Logan blowing it on the tournament here. But Texas Tech, that was kind of a weird game. Florida just, I don't know, kind of fell apart for them towards the end. They were doing all right. It was back and forth.
Yeah, they were kind of I was worried because Giazza was in foul trouble the whole time, and he's very much the engine that makes them go. Jalen Hudson's incredible, but
he's good.
Giazza makes them go, but they hung with Texas Tech. You know, Texas Tech kind of punched him in the mouth while Giazza was gone, but they were still around, and then they just seemed to not have their head about them the last 2 minutes of that game. There was some poorly judged threes, and there was some. They ended the game with a timeout, which I thought was interesting. I kind of figured Mike White would set something up, but they had a couple looks at three, and none of them fell. And you know, it happens.
Yeah,
Texas team.
There's a growing schism in Florida fans that are starting to take their camps. Like, do they like Mike White or do they not like Mike White?
No, at Florida.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I think Florida as a talented team, maybe underperformed this year, you could say. They were very injured all season long, so it is what it is.
Was this his second or third year?
I think this is his third year.
Oh.
They made the Elite Eight last year, so I mean, like that, you know, that matters.
That buys you at least a year.
Yeah, he's been good. The SEC's been better.
He's 68-35 at Florida.
They swept Kentucky. They swept the season series with Kentucky this year, which is crazy. But they also lost to Georgia twice. Like, that's, I think, the thing that is killing some Florida fans. Billy Donovan didn't lose, stupid games. And Billy Donovan's teams always got better as the season progressed. You could tell he was actually, like, coaching. And I will say that it seems some of these Florida teams seem like they kind of fall apart a little bit as the season moves along. But, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of hard to make too big of a determination on that. All right, we'll go to the Midwest. Kansas marches on. Clemson all over Auburn. They were up by like 40 at one point in that game.
That was rubbing.
Jeez.
That was incredible what they did to Auburn.
Y'all think Bruce Pearl is coaching again next year?
I mean, I feel like they got to hire an athletic director in there pretty quick who can fire him.
They got some that department's got some holes.
Yeah. And they have, like, they admittedly have bigger issues they need to deal with down there based on what we know about, like, the athletic director and, or the former athletic director and some other folks. But Bruce Pearl kind of seems to be just like hanging on because he's the biggest, like he's the biggest chair left filled right now.
And right. He's the only one openly not cooperating with the
yeah. It seems like, yeah, he can just put his fingers in his ears and it's yell. Like
nobody
and...
can call me to the principal's office because we don't have a principal right now.
Right. So let's play some basketball. You all boys want some pizza? moving along in that what is this, region? Syracuse takes down Michigan State in a absolute barn burner, 55.
Yeah, we call this crap. I mean, it's...
Yeah, Jason's made his feelings known about Syracuse. Probably shouldn't have been in the tournament to begin with.
No, definitely shouldn't have been. But I also
said that they're probably going to the Elite Eight, too.
And, so, yeah. here they are. They're going to get to play Duke. They play Syracuse basketball now. They're annoying. They stretch a bunch of 6'7" guys across the lane.
It almost feels like... I know Syracuse's 2-3 is, like, flawless and aesthetically beautiful, and he's a master.
Unless they play the Hoos, brother.
Okay.
Not in the tournament.
History has shown that game never happened.
Much like Friday night, that game also never happened.
UVA's vacated a couple of NCAA games recently. Voluntary vacations, if you will. Getting ahead of ourselves.
But no, like people always like good teams and well coached teams always like run into Syracuse in the tournament and look like they've never seen a zone before, and I just are you caught off guard by Syracuse running his own?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of teams... They talked about it a little bit in the broadcast, but it's not just a 2-3 zone. Like, the way they use the corner guys, it kind of flattens out to, like, a 2-2-1 or a 3-2. Right. And, yeah. I mean, Jason, we're hoopers. We're basketball guys. We've faced a zone defense or two in our lives.
I know.
And,
I know. You got to find the short corner. I know.
Right. It's all about the short course, but like Craig the way,
points,
UVA has been able to destroy zone defenses this year because they could get DeAndre Hunter at the free throw line and he can make that jump shot consistently. And when you put a guy at the stripe who can hit that jump shot and then drive off of it, the zone is largely
every
ineffective.
Shot. Yeah,
but
every
90% of college teams don't have guys that can just play really good mid-range games. That's kind of a lost art in today's sport.
Millennials, am I right?
This has been told to me by every 60-year-old sports writer in the last 15 years.
Nobody's shooting that 15-footer anymore.
We lost a 15-foot jumper, and it's just destroyed.
Yeah, that elbow jumper off the glass, man. Oh,
oof.
That Tim was Duncan. Merle Shank special right there.
Merle, Tim, the big, the holy duo of the big fundamental. all right, Duke looks really good. We're not going to talk about that though. They're going to
that game's going to be terrible.
Oh, it is.
So we're clear.
Did they play in the regular season?
The fact
season?
That either one of Boeheim or Coach K gets an Elite Eight. Yeah. I wish this game could end in a tie.
But also, like, I think somebody tweeted it, like, halfway through the season, and it's still true today. Like, Duke playing man is a okay team. They're
not very good.
Duke playing
man.
Zone is, huh?
I don't
their
think
zone
they're very
defense,
good playing man. Like, I wouldn't call them a good team.
That's what I mean.
But their zone defense might as well just be a funnel for open shots at any and all places. They are so bad when they play zone.
Yeah, so it's going to be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Logan, they did meet in the regular season.
I guess they would have had to.
At Cameron, Duke won by 16.
Okay. So that means Syracuse definitely wins this by like 11 in a weird game.
Yep.
No, Grayson, it could be like 52-48.
Grayson Allen accidentally elbows Boeheim in the throat, like falling into the bench or something.
That's the best storyline going into this game is what's going to happen.
What's going to happen? all right, well, scoot over to the West. We got Xavier goes down to Florida State. Don't really know what happened there. I think everyone kind of expected Xavier
to blew it.
Likely
oh
lose
gosh.
The game,
yeah,
but
that
I
was
guess
awful.
They really botched it.
I had Xavier to cover 5.5. It did not go well. They were they were in the driver's seat for about 36 minutes.
Yep.
And they had a 7 or 9 point lead with about 7 minutes to go, and Florida State was literally fighting in the huddle. Like Leonard Hamilton was grabbing handfuls of jerseys and screaming at guys to settle down.
Leonard Hamilton losing control of his team in the tournament? No way.
Yeah. Hey. And at that point, I looked at my buddy and I was like, oh, they're screwed. They are so screwed. We're going to both collect on these tickets. It's going to be great. And then the lanky string bean fellow on Xavier Makura, JP Makura, with kind of the floppy mop of hair, he got his fourth foul, had to sit for a while, and Florida State went on a big run and never looked back. And that's March for you. the team that was ready to break each other's face just kind of flipped the switch and completed an improbable comeback.
Right. Onward and upward. Gonzaga beats Ohio State in a high-scoring game. Did not watch this, but boy, some points.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Michigan hits a buzzer beater basically against Houston to win.
Yep, that was fun.
That was pretty impressive.
I have a video I'll send to you guys of the sports book reaction to that.
Did that swing a spread too, or was it just money lines?
Just money line for everyone who had the underdog in that.
I picked Houston. I was pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No cheering in the sports book, right? Is that one of the rules? You're not allowed to cheer.
No, it's like the sports book is a fascinating place for so many reasons. But sure. One of the best parts is like it only takes about 2 minutes at the end, like two possessions at the end of a game to find out which pockets of people have which side of a game. There are a lot of Michigan fans in the book I was watching at, so it got pretty happy.
Gross.
But yeah, fun times. Fun awesome. Times for Blue, for Big Blue, because nothing ever good happens for them. So.
Right. And then in sort of what I would say a surprising event, Texas A&M absolutely destroyed North Carolina. Just beat the tar out of them. They were up by like, 15 at halftime, something like that. They seemed they were up big, and they just stretched it out. North Carolina looked all out of sorts. Texas A&M, I think I watched them play at times this year, and you watch them play and you think, man, this team actually is really good. They play like kind of frenetic, and it seems like if they make their shots, they're going to be obviously really good. Here we go, saying that stupid thing again. But they made shots against North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina's demonstrated they're not, you know, a lockdown team by any stretch of the imagination, and Texas A&M ran away from them. So that was surprising. I had North Carolina in the Final Four.
I did too.
Oh. I had Xavier.
All right. Good work for us. Yeah. So
let's. I have remaining in my bracket. I have three Elite Eight teams: Villanova, Kansas, and Purdue. And Villanova is the only Final Four team I have left, and I have them winning it all.
I had Purdue going to the final, so that's still in play. But without Haas, I don't like their chances.
Yeah.
It's gonna be tough. So, all right, we want to pick some more games.
Yep. All right, boys. Sweet 16, we're going against the spread. We're going to start with the first game of Thursday evening. Loyola Chicago taking on Nevada Reno. Nevada is favored by 2. Jason gets to start. No, stop acting surprised.
It's a proud tradition, Jason. It's called the alphabet.
I can barely remember like to feed myself, so I forget every time that I have to go first.
You get to go first.
Yeah, I have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Nevada by 2.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Loyola. I'm going to ride the good feelings. I've seen both of these teams play twice, and anything could happen. But, yeah, Loyola, let's keep it rolling. Let's stay with them.
Logan.
All good things must come to an end. I'll take Nevada here to cover.
All right. I'm also going to take Nevada. Sister Jean herself in her own bracket has Loyola losing in Sweet 16. So.
which is awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I wasn't working with all the information.
And Nevada's got – apparently they've got several guys who are, you know, big program transfers. So I don't think they're going to be as phased or flummoxed by the stage. And I think the second round game where they made the big comeback is evidence of that. All right, next we go Texas A&M against Michigan. The Wolverines are favored by 3. Logan, you're first.
Man, I'll take Michigan. I don't think Texas A&M is consistent enough, and Michigan's playing well enough to give Texas A&M problems.
All right, I'm going to take A&M. I like athleticism, and I like frantic basketball in the tournament, provided they hit their shots, of course.
Sure.
Minor detail.
I will also gig them and take Texas A&M. They are definitely not consistent, which lends me pause, but they're just dunking on everybody right now, and that's super fun. So
a lot of windmills out of that team, which is fun.
Yeah, I respect it. They also had that awesome clip where
the guy did
his buddy Mitch did it, like,
yes,
synchronized. Oh, it was awesome,
dude. I saw that happen in the replay, and I was like, that is so cool. I was like, I wish I knew how to like do screen grabs or gifs or something. I should post that. Maybe I'll go viral, but then the moment was lost.
Someone else beat you to it. All right, game 3. This will be the first of the two late games Thursday. Kentucky Wildcats, Kansas State Wildcats.
Wow.
Kentucky favored by 6. I'm going to take Kentucky to cover. I think they are leaps and bounds more talented than Kansas State, and I also think they just play better basketball. Watching that UMBC Kansas State game, not to sound bitter or anything, but like Virginia would have housed Kansas State. They played so poorly.
That was not a pretty game of basketball.
No. So give me Big Blue.
Yeah, I will second that, mostly for the same reason, which is that watching Kansas State that did nothing to encourage me. And Kentucky is wildly talented and seems to be sort of rounding into form. They struggled with Davidson a little bit, but I figured that would be a tough matchup for them. But they look good right now. So Big Blue. Blah.
Yeah, I'll take them as well. Give me the Kentucky Wildcats, the blue ones.
Give me
ones.
The Wildcats. Moving on to the final game of the night, the Florida State Seminoles take on Gonzaga. Gonzaga favored by 5.5. Jason.
I will take the Zags. I think they're battle tested. They had a couple tough games to get through. One of which was concerning, one of which wasn't. But they also won two different styles. And frankly, Mark Few is a really good coach, and I'll take that matchup every day. So, Gonzaga.
I will take – I'll take Florida State to cover. They're a tough team. They play teams close. And granted, I do think there's a coaching mismatch here, but Florida State played – a lot. I think Gonzaga's going to win, but I think Florida State, you know, maybe keeps it close or makes a free throw at the end or something, gets in there.
I'm also going to take Florida State for similar reasons that I took A&M. I like chaos. I like athleticism. But Logan, like you said, coaching mismatch, which isn't a confidence booster by any means. So
right.
We'll see. Moving on to Friday, first game of the evening will be the Clemson Tigers and the Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas is favored by 4 points. Logan gets to start.
Clemson and Kansas, you say. Kansas is only favored by 4?
Yes.
I'll take Kansas.
Yeah.
Clemson, while they played awesome against Auburn, I really don't know what to make of Auburn, especially since old Mr. what's his name broke his leg. I mean, they scored a lot of points. I would say that's a little bit out of character for Clemson. Oh, side note on Clemson. You guys see the tweet I shared with you?
Yes.
We got some Dabo out there joining the basketball team.
That would have been
Brad Brownell.
Like, of course that happened.
Yep. We nailed it again.
Yeah. As per usual, all over things that don't matter. When it comes to picking games, not so much. But hey, Dabo sightings, we're in. We're dialed with the Dabo sightings. Yeah, so I got nothing else to say. I'll take Kansas.
Do we know where this game's played?
Omaha.
One moment.
Omaha. Yeah.
Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
Super locked up.
It's in Omaha, Nebraska.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought you were joking.
Yeah, I thought you were joking too. Give me Kansas. I think Clemson is good. Yeah. They do play good defense, and they're probably more athletic down low than Clemson. With, I would say, Azubuki's more athletic than Clemson's bigs, but I don't know that Kansas does other things. With all that said, Bill Self over Brad Brownell. Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, Kansas. That line seems super low to me.
Which is disconcerting.
And, yeah, it definitely means we're getting it wrong. but Kansas is a really, really good team. They struggle a little bit with Seton Hall, but they're freakishly athletic, especially around the outside. So I'm going to take Kansas.
All right. Second game of the evening, West Virginia. Side note, go.
Did you guys think I was like calling an audible or something? Omaha.
Well, no, it's like, weren't there like a bunch of upsets in Omaha this week? Wasn't that like the place that it kept happening?
I don't know about that. I just thought you were joking about like, oh, Kansas got a super favorable draw for their second round or their Sweet 16 game.
I mean, they are a one seed, so.
Yeah.
All right, continue.
All right, West Virginia Villanova is the second early game on Friday.
This game's in Boston, FYI.
Boston, Mass.
Good note.
That's good to know. Nova's favored by 5.5. I'm going to take West Virginia. I like Javon Carter. I like that they were good enough to beat Virginia. Big man has some attitude issues, but channeled properly, that can be useful. So give me the Nears and the Shacket and Huggy Bear.
Respect. I don't blame you at all. I like West Virginia a lot in this game. I'm going to take Villanova to cover because I think eventually they'll just be way more talented. But, man, West Virginia is really good. I wish they were on the other side of this bracket because I would easily take them over either Purdue or Texas Tech.
No, that's a good point, Jason. What is the line again, Jordan? I'm sorry.
5.5, Villanova.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Wildcats to cover.
Finish it up, Jason. Sorry. A classic Big East matchup here.
That's right.
I'll take Villanova. They're playing too well. I mean, West Virginia knows how to make every game just absolute horror to play. But I'll go ahead and take the Wildcats. 5.5 is only like 2 shots, so they'll make 2 more shots in West Virginia.
All right. First late game of Friday night, an ACC matchup, Syracuse and Duke. Duke favored by 11 whole points.
Good God.
Jason gets the start.
Give me Syracuse. I think Duke wins.
So confident in this trash Syracuse team now. It's terrible. I'm with you, Jason. I'm like totally.
Yeah, this happens every freaking year. But yeah, I mean, I don't think they're better than Duke. I don't even know that they win. I would probably, betting a money line, I would probably put money on Duke. But if I were allowed to. I don't see Syracuse getting blown out by 11, especially with the way they're playing right now. They're slowing it down just like, well, I was going to say just like Virginia usually does, but that's probably a bad example right here.
It is. But, it is a bad example, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't see a blowout. It wouldn't shock me if Duke won, but I'm going to take Syracuse to cover.
Logan.
I'll take Duke. Cover the big line.
Are you happy with the words you just said?
I'm really upset. I really detest both teams. But I'm really eagerly awaiting someone to write a long think piece about how Jim Boeheim needs to adjust his style because it just can't win in March.
Right.
But for some strange reason,
this game is a referendum.
Every game they lose is an immediate referendum on how they play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can be with Bomani. Hashtag zone is for cowards.
Yeah. Oh, bring it back, Bo.
He has a pretty disappointing UVA take too, which I was a little bit bummed to see, but it's okay. I get it. And listen, like I tried to root for a Will Muschamp Florida football team that like purposefully played boring for a while. It's terrible. It's really terrible. Like when that's not working, and I do think that Will Muschamp style can't win. But at the end of the day, he wasn't going 11-2 every year, which is effectively what Tony Bennett's doing.
Yep.
He only did it once.
I really don't like either side of this line.
Take the push.
Yeah.
Take the push.
I'm going to go Duke as well. One thing about Syracuse is their bigs have a tendency to get in early foul trouble. And I think as long as Duke is focused enough and makes a concerted enough effort to keep feeding those guys, Carter and Bagley, are monsters. And I think they're going to eat Chukwu and Sidibe. I think they're going to eat those guys up. So begrudgingly, I will go Duke. I wouldn't be upset if perhaps a sinkhole took place wherever this game is happening. But, yeah. So it goes. Final game of Friday night to determine the last spot in the Elite Eight. Texas Tech and the Purdue Boilermakers. Purdue favored by 2 points. Logan gets the start.
Oh, God. Texas Tech, I don't know. I have no idea what to think. Really, really kind of wanted them to lose to Stephen F. Austin, but the millennials that play for Stephen F. Austin evidently don't watch film.
So. Oh, yeah.
I will take Purdue, ride with my guy, good friend of the podcast, Matt Playtech, Purdue grad. This is his time. So give me the Boilermakers. As a fellow engineer,
Shouts out to Neil Armstrong. One love.
I ride with them.
Yeah, I'm also going to take Purdue. Haas not being in obviously hurts, but they also have really good guard play. And I think this time of year, that's more important than having a 7'2" block of marble on the post. So give me the Boilermakers. Matt Painter, he's got an interesting look. I'll say that.
Yes.
I'll just leave that there.
Unique.
Yeah.
I'm going to go guns up. I'm going to take Texas Tech.
Pew pew.
Oh, you're taking the Under Armour school, Jason.
Mistake.
Yeah, I made my peace.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, Maryland's had plenty of success since.
Right.
Anyways.
They live for March.
No, I actually like Texas Tech. I think they look really good this stretch of the Florida game that I watched against what I think was a kind of underrated Florida team. I like Texas Tech. I don't love Purdue with that injury.
All right. Those are our picks. They will not be changed and or altered in any form or fashion. I guess we'll come back after the Final Four has been set and make our final picks of the year until we start picking the pigskin games once again. Unless we want to do Masters episode. That's always a possibility.
Who's taking the orange and who's taking the blue in the orange and blue game, you know? We gotta
talk about that.
So. Important picks. Side note, guys, I saw Florida picked up a late 2018 commit from a player whose first name is Umstead.
Well, that can't be a bad thing.
He's a linebacker, Umstead Sanders. he also happens to be the brother of 5-star 2019 kid. Trey Sanders. Mullen's out here doing big things, guys. See? Hope springs eternal. The Gators are back.
It's that.
Give me 2 years.
It's I'll chain recruiting, here. Logan. We got to stop it.
Psych. We need more of it. Let's go. Okay. Well, on that note, this has been fun, guys. So we ride with the Hoos. Thank you, Jason, for your fair assessments. And always providing balance to the podcast, as Jordan and I have to talk things out sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, That's what I'm here for.
Levity and brevity.
Right. So maybe we'll talk Masters. Maybe we'll talk NFL draft. No, we will not. But until then, thanks for joining us on the podcast. This has been The Wheel Route. Find us on Twitter at The Wheel Route. Find us at thewheelroute.com. And download the show from your favorite podcast acquisition service. Peace out. Go Gators.
Go Hoos.
Hey, go Dukes.